G'day and welcome to episode 67 of the Destiny Down Under podcast. I'm Log Power Slave, and as always, I am joined by my fearless co-hosts, Mylan Games and none other than Real Time Sloth himself. Now, dudes, quick round the grounds. How have you been this week?
Busy. I think I said that last week, man. It's,
maybe you're just a busy guy. I think that's okay.
It's all systems go. I was just saying to Sloth just before we started, I've just got a really big deadline and just been putting in hours on the PhD each day. And data analysis, man, I've got to do it after this podcast and probably tomorrow just to make the cut. But after that, it should be. I survived the Bucks night. Didn't I bring that up last time? I survived the Bucks
night. No,
because it was us
on the podcast. The most
fatherly thing that could have happened. I'm not sure if you want to talk about it. But you sent a log.
Yeah,
it off.
Might as well. Oh man, might dude, as well. That was. Oh, that was
okay. You want me to tell this story?
Yeah, tell it. I mean, it's your name. So, I don't give a shit.
So, look. But I'm in the groom's party, but the groom is one of my best friends, but didn't pick a best man because he has so many good friends. So we just have a groom's party, right? But the issue with that is guys don't like taking responsibility unless you tell a guy. That's the whole reason of having a best man is like you have the responsibility of organizing stuff and doing this. It is a way of delegating. So I mean that was a bit of an issue. So I took the front on getting the lady entertainment organized for the night. The other guys have were a bit younger and have never been to a Bucks party before. And they were silly things. Oh, just one strip will be enough. And you know that's not right. You need more than one because when you got 20 blokes, it's awkward. They need to come in pairs. You need to organize the entertainment for the drinking, whatever, right? Anyway, before I left, I had to get all the cash because you're paying cash. And, you know, I had some money for Crystal and I had some money for Ebony. I don't know what the fucking names were. And I put them in like little lunch bags. And it was like $900 for Crystal and, you know, $450 for Ebony. And I put the little lunch bags, put their name on it. And I said, and Danny saw it on the kitchen counter. He said, "That is the most dad thing you could possibly do with stripper money."
Should we go back into the chat and tweet out the photo of Mylan's stripper money in fucking Ziploc bags?
Oh my god. I think that's exclusive for the podcast.
We got this photo that was just money. Just some money for brandy and for bloody Crystal and Sapphire or whatever they're fucking. Yeah. Oh, it was something else, guys. It was something else.
It was funny because I looked at it and I thought that is simultaneously the least Mylan and the most Mylan thing I've ever seen. Like, I mean, you don't associate Destiny Lore with strippers. I mean, unless you're fucking a non-pig, I suppose. But but then the preparedness of to have it in a fucking Ziploc bag with the, you know, the name and everything written on it and the amount and all that. Fucking hell, Matthew. Oh, you're going to be a hell of a dad one day, I can promise you that. That kind of organisation is sorely required for parenting, so good job.
Good job.
Good job. All right, Slothy, how the fuck are you now?
I've not been well. If you follow me on Twitter or if you follow me here in my Discord, I've not been well. I've actually got an ear infection from an abscess in my left ear, which has caused me to go completely deaf in my left ear, which is always fun. So they've got me on some pretty strong painkillers and they've got me on some pretty strong bloody steroids to try and get the swelling down so I can hear again. Because in this ear, on my right ear, I've only got 20% hearing. So it's interesting to say the least because I'm more deaf than usual. But outside of that, I'm all right. I'm well. I missed Thursday and Friday streaming. Hopefully we'll get back into that tonight. But it's pretty swollen. It's pretty sore. But outside of that, mate, it's been good.
So the ultimate practical joke would be to go into your PC settings and change it to left ear output only. Oh.
Left ear mono.
You come near my Come to my you come here anywhere near my computer, Matthew, and I'll smack you up the side of the face with a fucking cold spoon.
Credit to you, Slothy man. We were talking like 2 hours before the cast, and I'm like, dude, go and fucking rest. You don't need to do the podcast. You don't need to be worrying about any of this shit. He's just like, nah, I'm fucking right. I'm good. And I think it's the reverse psychology of like me trying to tell you to do something, and you just no.
No, we're neck.
Muppet Power Slave's not telling me anything, but dude, no, yeah, it's good to get.
How's your week been, Log?
What have you been up to this week? Been busy. I've been full tilt into trying to get ready for Sea of Thieves launch and all that sort of stuff. So I've started doing a few different sort of content things on the YouTubes and all that sort of stuff. And I've got some plans that I'm putting into action for next week too with launch and a few changes to the stream and all that sort of shit, which we can talk about later. But I think, yeah, it's been a big week on a few fronts, and most importantly, the Dragons one. So that's, you know, I'm a happy boy. I beat Keggy's Sharks, so up yours,
it
Keg.
It is anyway. That time of the year when the rugby league's on and Log starts turning, well, goes from being a peanut to being more of a peanut. So keep an eye out for State of Origin again this year, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, it is what it is. So we were talking just prior to the cast, and Log was saying that he hasn't gotten any sleep for the last 2 days because it is now 2 days prior to release for Sea of Thieves, which is going to be very exciting. Krakens and rum and all that sort of thing. It's going to be good.
Log, tell me some stories, mate. I saw you uploaded a lore video about Sea of Thieves. Yeah, tell me the story of Sea of Thieves. I haven't looked at anything. Well, why should I be excited to say, apart from just sailing ships, why should I be excited about Sea of Thieves?
The thing is, right, and they've kept a fucking hell of a tight lid on all of the story, right? Like there's basically lore books you find in game, songs you'll find in game that explain the backstory of characters. There's the whole book that they're selling that comes out concurrently with the game that literally no one's managed to get a copy of yet, which fucking amazes me. You know, like, there's been no leak, and I thought, this will leak for sure, and you know, people will be putting out lore videos about everything before the game even comes out, but there's been none of that. So honestly, I like, from the scant sort of shit that I can put together, I made a lore video on a character called Captain Flameheart, who is one of the skeleton lords. So he's one of the big bads. But it turns out that, you know, there's a bit of conjecture, like, looking at it now, because the Tales of the Sea of Thieves book is written by Captain Flameheart, right? He's the main author. But Captain Flameheart is a moniker that two generations of people have held. So his father was Captain Flameheart, and this guy's like, I've decided I want to abandon my life as a tax accountant or whatever boring shit he was. He was like a scribe and a scholar, and I'm going to go out, I'm going to be a pirate, and I'm going to call myself Captain Flameheart, just like my dad. So now it's in this this thing where, like, I mean, I open-ended the lore video by saying, like, I really don't know all that much. I'm just going to have a bit of a speculate on what I can put together. And then that sort of tidbit of information came out 2 days later. I'm like, fucking damn, man. Like, I wish
I did that.
Yeah, it's just like little leaks and stuff. But it's cool because it's, you know, no one really knows anything. As to the Sea of Thieves itself, they refer to it as a place that, you know, it exists in the real world. It's like, but it's the place that's in the crinkle of the map, right? So it's not like, you know, it's some fantasy universe entirely. You know, there's characters that are British, there's characters from, you know, the Indies and all that sort of stuff. So I kind of think that it's, you know, it lends itself well to being able to sort of characterize or identify the characters anyway. It's not like they're all just randoms and that. They come from places that you know and things like that.
So is there information on, like, I know this was a big, and I haven't been following, because I know this was a big question, like, when the beta came out, like, yes, it's a hell of a lot of fun, but, like, what do you do apart from goof around? Like, is there a campaign, so to speak, or do we not know that information yet?
Honestly, I think they've kept a really tight lid on that too. How much of a story there is that drives you through your progression is yet to be seen. But I think ultimately the premise of the game is that it's meant to be kind of jump in and play, and you know, like you can jump in, you can play, and everything you unlock is effectively, you know, cosmetic more or less. So there's no barrier to entry, but at the same time, your progression is all tied up in your appearance and, you know, like your ship, all that sort of stuff. So there's no real like hard level, like, you know, it's not like Destiny. You come in on the ground level and you go into the Crucible and you get stomped because everyone's got better guns. It's different. It's holy shit.
Yeah.
Rustling. Good, man. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those things that the time will tell. And like, understandably, people do have reservations about it, whether or not it's going to hold their interest. And that we'll bring that up maybe a little bit later on in the cast, as you know, we'll talk about the perceived value of open-ended, open-world games. But you know,
I mean, compared to I think anything like that. Like, the thing is, campaigns have a start.
Yep.
And there can be good based on that. Like, that was a great campaign. I enjoyed playing that game. And then you might put it down.
Yeah.
Something that has a PvP element or open world element, I guess, has opportunity for ongoing play. And I think it sounds like it could, you know, you get through the campaign of Sea of Thieves, and then it's all about, you know, can you upgrade your ship, how you get stuff. If people enjoy the battle and sacking a ship, it might come down to the enjoyment of that sort of competitive side of Sea of Thieves and what people can make of it, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's something that I've jumped into and I've played in every stress test and beta they've had and two alphas. So, like, I've pre-ordered it, but I've got 50 hours of entertainment out of it before it's even released. So it's a safe bet for me, you know, to be able to progress. And, you know, like, I understand people's reservations, but I mean, if you're on the fence, there is, as I make the mistake as raised in the chat, that, you know, you can just subscribe to Game Pass for $10 and get it for a month for that. So you don't even need to stump up the bloody full asking price of it. You can literally just, it's in Game Pass from day one. So straight away. And if you want, I'm giving one away later in the week. So there's that.
Self-promotion.
No. Community, it's not even self-promotion. It's this other podcast of Dead Shit Australians who are doing it. But we'll leave that alone for now, I think.
All right. So before we get into too much other gaming and all that sort of thing, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get into this week at Bungie for the 15th of the 3rd. Basically, very short this week, ladies and gentlemen. There's not really a lot of news that's come out of it. The faction rally starts up again on 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday the 20th. If you check out the weapons, got new Monarchy shotgun, dead orbit shotgun, and a new Monarchy shotgun, a future war cult shotgun, and a dead orbit, what seems to be an SMG. And then you've got all the details in regards to anyone pledged the winning faction, pick it up for 1,000 glimmer. Anyone who not loyal but can still get it, it's a steep 50,000 glimmer. So if you want to pick that up as well. So you've got your Future War Colt sniper rifle, you know, new Monarchy grenade launcher, and your dead orbit sniper rifle as well. And ladies and gentlemen, they really want to get into the point where this is your last chance for earning ornaments for season 2. Earning them, case in point, earning the ornaments, I'm sure that they'll come back as some sort of cosmetic microtransaction because that's what Bungie do. And I'm not throwing them under the bus for that. They can do that. That's fine. People who want to spend their money on microtransactions and all that sort of thing,
they so won't put
we're
that
not
into
we're not going to get back into that again. Say yeah. Again, sorry.
I don't think that's there to stay as earnable. I don't think that will.
So they say it's the last chance for earning ornaments for season 2. So if you're missing anything, mate, you make sure to grab it before Victory Weekend's on April 3rd. If you're missing any emblems, you'll need to pledge to the faction you're missing before March 27th. And after that, faction owners take some time off while we work to make the event even better. A few bullet points that they want to get across. Pledging to a faction should be a meaningful choice. This is the reason why they're taking a break. Rewards should not be time gated. Faction rallies should provide a unique gameplay experience and not simply just be a reward layer on top of the existing game. I don't know how they're going to, like, this is just me here. I don't know how they're going to move forward with that, i.e. with the reward layer or anything like that. But that's cool nonetheless. I'm glad that they're moving towards that sort of play style and game style. The event should grant additional insight into the faction lore and goals. No. Bungie, you're not allowed to use the term lore anymore. There is no lore. Yes. There is no Destiny anymore, guys. Flame me if you want in the YouTube comments, but really, honestly, there's no lore in Destiny anymore. It's not lore. It's wives' tales.
What did they say about lore? Sorry, I missed that.
It says the event should gain a grant additional insight into faction lore and goals. Oh. Again, there's no laws per se. Matt's like, video!
But where? What? On the lore tabs?
Oh, yeah.
No. Who knows, man?
Who knows? Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's an open end.
And it should be built upon player interest in the Lost Sectors and armor ornament objectives. Again, the whole faction rallies and all that sort of thing, it's never really interested me. It's never really interested me going and farming tokens. It never did. But I know a lot of people that really got into it. I know Log on the first faction rally, you did the whole running around and getting the things and all that sort of thing. And Matt, I'm quite sure that you did it too. But
no, I never. I'm like you, man. I never really got into. I don't know why. I never got into the faction.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know why I did it the first time. Now that I think about it, it must have been something that I was chasing, but I've completely forgotten. And it was obviously really fucking important for me to have completely forgotten about it 2 months down the line. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're right in, you know, like, it sucks that they have to take a piece of, you know, recurring content out of the loop for a while to get it right. But it is encouraging that they're looking at it going, look, this is just a pretty weak offering as it is. It's just go and do what you're doing and pick up the tokens and turn them in, and then you might get more shit. Like, it's a pretty weak fucking... They're exactly right in saying that it's just a reward layer on top of the existing game. Yeah, they can come back with some way to make it some kind of diverse experience and make you invest in your faction, like emotionally invest in your faction. I honestly think it should be one of those things that you pick, and you pick once and that's it. Like, it's not, I'll just flit around and pick whichever one I feel like this month. No, just... You, at character creation, assign yourself a bloody thing, right? And then that's it for its life. So, I don't know. I think it is. It's definitely a move in the right direction for them to be really looking at it hard. And, you know, it sucks that we're going to lose it for a little while, but happy enough with it.
Well, I mean, if they're going to improve it, they're going to improve it. But, you know, time will tell with the whether they actually do make improvements. That's the thing. That's the thing that a lot of people are sort of... a little bit on the fence about in regards to returning back to Destiny 2 is if they can make improvements to it. But yeah. Again, we have spoken about this at length. Please go back through and watch our numerous 66 other videos in regards to Destiny on what we get, the thought process and all that sort of thing about it. That's really about it for the news, guys. Like, there's a few really, really good Movie of the Week. So the drum remix of the Movie of the Week of Destiny is very, very good. I do highly recommend it if you're a percussionist, a musician, or if someone that just enjoys that sort of thing. It's definitely worth giving a look. And then you've got your usual PvP and PvE moments as well. Not to sound like I'm not trying to sound like an asshole, but in regards to the Movie of the Week, that drum remix is probably the most interesting thing I've seen for a while. So there you go.
there was one last week that had someone else's fucking stolen thumbnail used, and they gave it fucking Movie of the Week, and it was they'd used someone else's. I think it was DPJ maybe. Like, come on.
Yeah.
They must be scraping the barrel a little bit, but that drum one's fucking unreal. I really enjoyed that, and that's, you know, good on you.
Awesome. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, in regards to the podcast format, we've had some words. We're going to go down a little bit of the untraveled path, the road less traveled today, and we're going to talk about some other games, some other things that interest us. Starting as we all three of us have are quite heavily involved in Twitch. Anyone who's around this community knows that I stream nearly every day. Mylan used to stream every day, but he couldn't do the PhD, the YouTube, and the Twitch all the time. Log streams when he can, and that, you know, there's some upcoming changes for the three of us that are pretty pretty sort of incredible to think about. But the thing that we really want to cover off on, ladies and gentlemen, is the Ninja / Drake Fortnite duo stream that happened 2 nights ago for us, which is absolutely incredible, not only as content creators on this platform, but as people who view Twitch or who have been a part of Twitch for as long as we have. So if you don't know, Drake, he's a hip-hop or rap musician. I don't know. I don't really listen to the new rap at all, but he's very, very famous. He's a very cool dude, but he is a gamer as well. That, guys, that's the takeaway that I want to put into it. He's a gamer as well. He's a famous dude, but he's a gamer as well. But Ninja has been smashing Twitch records of late. He has hit 100,000 subscribers on Twitch, which is incredible. And then with this duo stream with Drake on Thursday night was or Thursday morning if you're in the US, was
Sloth, what's the max amount of emotes you can get on Twitch? Because, you know, you obviously get emotes unlocked. Like, I wonder what 100,000 subscribers
get. I don't know. Well, look at it this way. The person who I sub to has the most emotes is Baru, and he has 28, 32 emotes there or thereabouts. Who knows how many Ninja's got? Honestly, I don't know. But Ninja, he's got so he smashed 100,000 Twitch subs, which is huge in itself. So that's a record done and dusted. And then on Thursday night, he did this duo stream with Drake and hit a concurrent viewer count of 620,000 viewers, which is at least 200,000 more viewers of when Doc first returned back from his hiatus. Dr. Disrespect returned back from his hiatus on from Twitch, which is just incredible. And I really want to take the time and say, I don't enjoy Ninja's content. I don't. He is a really, really lovely dude, though. He is a really, really lovely dude, and he has worked his ass off. Well, there, thank you, Jinx. Tier 1 sub for Ninja gets you 50 emotes.
50 emotes is max.
50 emotes. That's Jesus.
You don't need to use words.
He has worked his ass off, and I want to say that congratulations, dude. Like, whether this comes across you or not, I want to give you my heartfelt congratulations on how much hard work you've put in and how much has been playing off for you. So really, really well done. It means so much to the Twitch as a whole.
Yeah, I was watching it because I was working from home that day, and I don't know, for some reason I actually it was on the Twitch homepage or something like that because I'm not following them or anything, and it at that point he had 100,000 people watching or something, and I think that's pretty regular from what I've seen. Like, his regular audience is fucking massive. And then, you know, I saw it go from, oh, Drake just messaged me or something like that to play a game of Fortnite, because I think they had already been speaking about just playing a game together, and it just progressively got insane because he's like, he's installing now, he's installing the launcher. And I think he was also, he had Fortnite, like the developers on Twitter too, within the DMs, and they made an account for him. And because they got some other people in too, they didn't have accounts. They did everything. They linked their accounts, did everything on the back end. And then, like, to make it happen, I thought, can you imagine that? Like, the Fortnite creators going, this is going to be fucking huge. Let's get rid of as many barriers and make sure that this happens as possible. And just being on the other end of that and like, okay, yeah, we'll make your account, we'll link your Epic account. Like, and it was funny, it was one point, it was like everything was done and Ninja was like, yeah, dude, just literally turn your PlayStation on and log in.
And then Drake was like, yep, cool, be there in 20 minutes. And then she was like, I thought he was so fucking keen, and he just plays it like, yeah, yeah, I'll be there in 20. Like, this, at this point, it's like creeping up to like 300,000 people waiting and watching and like waiting for Drake to appear. And he just plays it super cool. Yeah, man, I'll be there when I'm there.
Hey, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it was an incredible thing. It was absolutely incredible.
It was crazy to watch. Yeah, it was really crazy to watch.
It was very, very, very incredible to watch. And a lot of people, I want to say that I post this happening, a lot of people on Twitter from a lot of mainstream media, old media and all that sort of thing, where people like, Twitch doesn't mean shit, it'll be gone in a few years, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Just let the man have his moment, dude. Honestly.
Well, I think you gotta shit on people. Like, I think.
That's... Just let him have his moment. He has worked his ass off for God knows how long. I think he's been on Twitch for as long as since before it was Twitch. It was when it was JTV. You know, like, just let him have his fucking moment, dude. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes about it.
I don't think people can fathom that on a Wednesday night. He essentially sold out 4 stadiums. Do you know? I don't know how many, you know, stadium. How much do you hold in a stadium?
Like, well, dude, the biggest stadium in Australia holds like what, 98,000.
Yeah. Right.
So he had 6 times that amount on a Wednesday night, or so, and it was late. It was like 4 a.m. for the US too. Wasn't
yeah, 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 yeah.
Peak time or anything. So. I think people who are not in the industry have a hard time fathoming, like, working out how did that happen. And then when they realize, oh, there's a bit of money in there, I mean, of course it's going to be like, nah, fuck that. Like, they've got to justify to themselves that it will die. Otherwise, they're going to feel really shitty with their personal blog.
Well, yeah. Let them feel really shitty. At the end of the day, it's a dude's achievement. Let the fucking dude have his achievement.
Yeah, dude, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just people judging what they don't understand. It's human fucking nature.
How many other broadcasts can say on this platform that they've played with Drake?
Yeah, I mean, I love
that idea.
I love how that level, it's weird to see it, like, because I think a lot of people think that they put, you know, musicians and actors on a different sort of level, and even the most popular, like, streamer or YouTuber, I think a lot of people in the back of their minds like, oh, well, that's just Twitch, that's just streaming, that's just playing video games, it's not important. And then all of a sudden you get someone like Ninja that's just carefree, go lucky, yeah, cool, we'll play a game. And you get someone like Drake that's like, hey, I'm a gamer, well, let's play together. And it really, people sit up and go, oh, maybe I've been sort of underestimating gaming or underestimating that industry, and maybe they're not so far apart. And like, shit, I should pay attention to this.
Gaming can bring a lot of people together, you know, like, and that's the thing that, you know, I've been preaching for a while. Anyway, regardless, Ninja, well done, man. That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible.
It just goes to show how fucking Fortnite is just absolutely slaughtering at the moment, right?
Oh, let's, like, talk about that.
Dude, the NRL last week, the sport that I watched that most people won't know what the fuck it's on about, players were doing post-try fucking celebrations, like bandaging your arm up in Fortnite and shit like that. And I'm talking, like, it's one of the biggest sports in our country. Like, it is probably the biggest sport in Australia. It's a multi-million dollar industry. These dudes get paid a shitload of money, and they're out there carrying on like fucking Fortnite characters after they, you know, score a try. I thought, like, it caught me off guard. I'm like, what the fuck? So, really? If you want to think that, like, gaming is just some little backside industry that, you know, it doesn't really matter, dude, I think you're sorely mistaken. I'll shoot the clip of it.
When Ninja was doing it, they had an NFL player, so that's what Snake's saying. So we're getting cultural wires crossed here. So we're saying the Australian NRL had players doing Fortnite emotes on a touchdown, but what also happened with Ninja is he had NFL player Juju or something with Drake and another rapper Travis. So yeah, like, it's gone across cultures too when we've got professional teams doing this old shit.
Like, to the point where on news.com.au, there was an article explaining to people what the fuck Fortnite was, because they're like, why are all these players doing this? We don't understand. And then there's, like, all the old people with their pitchforks going, oh, it's stupid, ban this Fortnite rubbish. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, let him do what he wants. No one complains when someone hops up and rocks a friggin' baby because they've just had a child. Like, just shut up. I mean, if he wants to do it, he looked like a dipshit anyway. He looked like I'm not going to tell you what he looked like he was doing, but it looked a bit weird.
But with like, the Fortnite success, right? So, and maybe you guys know, because I'm not 100% sure, because I knew that crossplay was, like, activated in Fortnite at one point, but then they took it back out, but now it's back in. Is that right?
Yeah.
Crossplay between all consoles and certain mobile platforms have now been activated.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was playing with people on PlayStation for I think they were on PlayStation, right? And you know, that's gotta be what a great. And I think you can play people on Xbox and shit too. It's like completely cross-platform.
I think they've got a few steps to get with the Xbox. There was a release that I saw very early this week, so it may have changed since then. I'm not speaking from a place of knowledge, but I know that they're investigating it, and ultimately the end goal is that it's completely, you know, cross-play, which for us as gamers... And, you know, especially when the way we looked at Destiny 2's release and the way it shaped that, it is a fucking huge play for the industry. Because if it goes on and kills it and there's no, like, real blowback on any particular console, it'll pave the way for other games to be doing exactly the same thing.
I hope that developers are seeing this model and seeing how it works and going, okay, we should make...
How about playing it on your fucking mobile?
Yeah. So I spoke to a few people
when
that first came out. Is that it's because it's cross-play again. So only certain you had to register for the Fortnite beta, the mobile beta and all that sort of thing. But so Sazio, who we've had on the cast, and another friend of mine, both said that it's a little bit janky on the controls and it definitely needs some work. But for people who like to sit on the shitter and have a, you know, have 20 minutes where they go and play a game or watch a YouTube video, yeah.
Where are we dropping, boys? Flash Factory. Let's get there.
Like, I can't imagine you getting on mobile and expecting to win, but... It's going to fucking be any... If you're in a position where you're bored and the only thing you've got on you is your mobile...
Yeah.
Like, why not?
I'd give it a go. Whatever. I'm not really going into a game of Fortnite expecting to win anyway, so, you know.
It's legitimately, like, some people play to win, other people, like the three of us, who lack the skills of winning consistently... without being carried by Polar or, you know, other
people. Anyone else,
people. It's good to just play, and I think that sort of... I'm not sure if Epic is going over... stepping over the boundaries of, like, mobile and stepping over the boundaries of trying to implement mobile as well. But yeah, it is what it is. It's going to be pretty fucking huge.
You know what I think it is, right? I think they've gone, how do we get that pest to power from kids in a free to play market, right? They're going to release, everyone's got phones that can probably handle it. And you know, if you get in there, it's one less barrier. I don't need an Xbox, I don't need a PlayStation, I don't need a PC to do this. It can experience the game. Get demolished, but understand that this could be really good if I had an Xbox or PlayStation. There's got to be a package coming out with once they get everything sorted out with crossplay, there'll be a Xbox Fortnite package or a PlayStation Fortnite package, and those kids that have been playing on mobile go, Mum, I've been playing this game forever. It's free to play.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I need an Xbox now. I need to upgrade from the 360. I need it's free to play, Mum. You don't need any games. I've already been playing on the mobile.
Can you imagine the branding shit fight that'll go on? To that. Yeah, but like, honestly, it will. ultimately someone's going to win out on the exclusivity of like the console, right?
If PlayStation and Xbox have any 2 cents, they'll be looking out and right now to make it's free to play already. So just put some branding on the fucking PlayStation and install it. I don't know.
Bring them here. I'll put stickers on them and fucking sell them for twice as much. It sounds like a great plan.
At the end of the day, Fortnite is one of these things that comes along every once in a while that is just incredible.
It's kind of...
I personally don't play it. I watch people play it. I don't play it because I can't wrap my head around it. I play the PvE. But it is one of these things that is starting to be a lot more than just a cult following that are like... And this is sort of a little bit of an understatement at the moment, but a lot more than a cult following. It's a lot of people play it. And when I say a lot of people, at least 628,000 people, if not more, who are involved with Twitch and YouTube and all that sort of thing. So
I'd love to see the numbers on it, man. I'd love to see how many like individual accounts are playing at any one time. Like that's me anyway. I love stats, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you look at it now, we've been waiting for a while for that game of the generation to kind of come along. And while it's very early days of something like Fortnite, like you think back, you know, a decade, and Halo was that franchise, or the Call of Duty, inception of the Call of Duty franchise that, you know, they came out and literally everyone you knew was playing it. You know, like there was no, you know, if someone wasn't playing it, you'd be like, what the fuck? You know, this has that about it again. Like, you know, like Destiny, and that's where we come from, was a big game, sure, AAA title, all that sort of stuff. But it never even got close to this kind of like mass public appeal. Like when you're putting articles on mainstream news websites to explain what the fuck a game is to stop the old people in the community from panicking because they don't understand, like that's huge. That's amazing.
Yeah. I just hope that Epic don't stand on their own dicks and fuck something up. I don't know what they could fuck up, but I hope they don't fuck something up. Like trying to go with like esports or something like that. Bungie. But you know it is what it is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is our cover piece, at least for the new format. So new games that are coming up that the three of us are really, really interested in. Log. He's very interested in Sea of Thieves. I'm very interested in Sea of Thieves. I think, Matt, you're very interested in Sea of Thieves as well. Sea of Thieves is definitely going to be one of those games that if you want to be a pirate and, you know, fuck around with your mates. Like, Log and I were playing last weekend. We were playing for, what, 5-6 hours? And it was just like,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, let's get
it's
drunk.
It's so hard let's, to turn let's off.
Get, yeah, let's get drunk and just sail around the seas and just, you know, be general pests. And that was the thing that we enjoy. So Sea of Thieves comes out for – this isn't a sponsor or anything like that. This is just for information. It comes out on the 20th of March or the 21st if you're in the US, if I remember correctly, Log.
No. It's basically like Destiny 2 was. It's a rolling unlock. So
it's a rolling release.
Midnight. Yeah. So it's good. Yeah. Good like that. You know, I'm going to jump on, and if I can swing the day off work on Tuesday, I'll be streaming. You know, I'll probably do a few hours through the night, and then get up and play again through the day or something like that. I don't know. I'll work it out. Yeah, but you know, it's for me, it's just such a huge, like, I can't wait to see what happens with it all and how it's perceived and all that sort of thing. It's been a divisive title too, like a lot of, and this sort of bleeds into something that I wanted to discuss today is that, like, I see there's a lot of posts sort of on the Sea of Thieves subreddit that are basically questioning the value of the game. And it's the, you know, we're talking American dollars here, $60 for a mainstream title, $100 in Australia, or, you know, like you're talking 80 euros, things like that. You know, that's not cheap. And people are coming on and going, you know, if all I'm going to be doing in this game is sailing around and getting chests and killing skeletons and whatever, like, where's the value in it? For me, like, comparing that to classic titles like fucking Mario or, you know, like something more recent, like a Lego Avengers or anything, like stuff that I've played with my daughter and it has a clear story and that's the end. And then after the end, there's really only the going around and collecting all the bullshit that matters after that. I think, you know, there's no question which sort of title you're able to get more time for your money out of. But it still seems to be this perception that, like, there needs to be this a massive amount of content that underpins it all, that you can grind for, that you can do all this, for people to be willing to spend. Do you think that people's perception of value around like tangible things that they can get in game is a bit skewed because of things like World of WoW and and Destiny and like the really grindy games that have come out? Like,
I think more recently, and this is like a knock-on effect from publishers. Like, if you go and read their investor reports, they 100% want to go to a service model, which is like World of Warcraft, right? Where they want to keep you playing because they want to keep you spending. And, you know, there has been outliers to that, you know, that have had really good single campaigns. And for a moment, it's sort of like, you know, single player campaigns dead. And you have things like, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn that have smashed it, right? And then I've had single player campaigns. But for a lot of the time, there is a push to, you know, a service model that has microtransactions or something like that. And that's sort of where Destiny fitted in as well, that they had loot and they had, you know, they want to keep you coming back and keep you playing. And so a lot of people now, what they consider to be value for money is a game that's like that, where you can play it for 100 hours rather than, you know, a single campaign. And it's sort of a weird state now where you've got something like Sea of Thieves, where we don't really know where it sits. Like, is it that, you know, service model, like grindy loot, and you can get 100 hours gameplay out of it? Or is it a campaign thing with a little bit of PvP on the side? So I think that's probably what's causing issues. Yeah.
This is the thing that people fail to understand is they're trying to set all these games, all these new games, into a mold that has been there since day dot. So in regards to the bigger developers and all that sort of thing, so you're looking at Blizzard, Activision, you're looking at EA, you're looking at Ubisoft and all those companies. They're trying to put, like, the gaming as a service, that's fine, that's okay, that's fine, they want to keep people paying for it, but they're trying to fit all this new thought process into the same mold and get the same amount of money out of it. And this is the thing that they fail to understand. This is where the newer, I know Rare has been around for a bloody, you know, a dog's age, but this is where the newer developers come in and go, well, no, it's not just a single player game. It's not just an open world PvP, PvE game. It's not just a PvP game. It's a mix of all three, but it does focus on this much. So Sea of Thieves, it does focus on sailing and the piracy and all that sort of thing and the lore from what we've been able to tell of it. So this gaming as a service, it's just the same as what it was when they tried to introduce it back in 2006. It's the same shit. It is legitimately the same shit, and they're trying to get away with it. And with these newer developers up and coming, I don't think they will get away with it for much longer. And the gaming community as a whole getting sick of these asshole developers trying to pull the same shit as well. Anyway,
the other thing that kind of ties in with, and it really interested me when they announced that Sea of Thieves on launch would be part of Game Pass. So they've basically abandoned like initial takings, and they're giving people the ability to literally play the whole game for a month for $15. Like, and
what's Game Pass?
It's like Xbox subscription service to like the titles, like their titles. Yeah, there's a fucking heap of games in it, man. I've looked through it because, you know, like any proprietary game of theirs is pretty much in it, like anything that you can remember. So you're paying like, well, I think it's $15 is the subscription for a month for that. And you can play like, I'm talking like 30, 40 games. So they've kind of taken this different tact with it, where it's sort of like, well, you're not paying for this game as a service. You're paying for all of these options. And it kind of like, if you could nearly tack that on top of your bloody Xbox Live membership, I'd probably do it, honestly. The thing that stops me is that it's a recurring thing. You can't just pay outright for a year or anything like that. So it's crazy and it's cheap. And I think they're pushing to reinvent things.
I think so. The interesting, another thing I had about Sea of Thieves is they should look at Fortnite. Fortnite has moved so quickly with keeping that player base going. Like, with the game modes, you know, like, what are they, 50 versus 50, 20 versus 20, gold edition with all only, like, epics or legendaries, whatever they call them, that come out, new skins, like, they've been really quick on the ball with just adding new and interesting things. And I think something like Sea of Thieves would probably benefit from that. Like, imagine if you could upgrade your cannons. You get, like, a fucking octopus cannon and you shoot octopuses. Like, you know, like, just add shit like that. And people are like, oh, I want to get back in there. I want to find that chest and, like, get that upgrade or whatever.
But they don't – the one thing that the Rare and developers need to understand is they don't need to reinvent the fucking wheel.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the subtext of it all, is that, like, they're like, oh, this game's just like fucking Black Flag. And I'm like, it's not in any way like Black Flag, but it's, you know, it's pirates and that's fine and people make that thing. But, like, touching on that point, Matt, I think that in Rare's favour, they do have, like, they're a Microsoft-owned subsidiary, really. Like, they've been owned by Microsoft for a long time. And they've spoken in, like, press releases and stuff, basically saying that they can implement things into the game a lot quicker than normal, because they have basically a trust system that Microsoft, you know, they're like, they don't have to go through the same certification process as an outside developer. So, I mean, that's one point of it. That's like, they have the ability to put things in quickly. The other side of it is being able to do what Epic are doing now and fucking make things quickly and create, like, dynamic experiences that people want to invest in. Do I think Sea of Thieves is capable of doing that? Fucking oath I do. But ultimately, the proof will be in the pudding. It's such an open sandbox. They could do anything. They could, oh, guess what? Yeah. They could literally go Battle Royale on it for a weekend. Like, and I think you have to be in this circle, otherwise there's a storm. Like, you know.
Dude, Battle Royale on Sea of Thieves would be crazy.
It'd be fucking stupid.
No, I reckon it would be. I honestly.
But even it's not going to be a persistent mode. Like, just do it. Just fuck around for a weekend.
And I think that's what Fortnite did. Like, and I think the reason why they could be successful is they had the foundation already. They had everything working already. So they didn't, it's not like PUBG where there's so much broken shit that you can't experiment because it just breaks more stuff. Like, I get the feeling that, you know, Fortnite had a solid foundation and they were just free to experiment and go, you know, did the 50 versus 50, it didn't actually work that well. Oh, well, we just did it for a couple of weeks or whatever. All right, let's move. Let's try 20 versus 20. Let's try gold versions only. Let's put fucking miniguns in. Let's put dance balls in. Let's put campfires in. Let's, like, they had, I feel like they had a foundation that they could just add stuff to and what the audience likes. And I think Sea of Thieves, from what I've seen, like, I feel like they've got a real, as you say, they've got a good foundation. I just think it's going to be how quick can they, you know, keep up with their community and keep that momentum going. That will be key.
Well, it also seems that they're Rare aren't under the whim or aren't under the boot of Microsoft either. It's just Microsoft have given them a platform.
Yeah, they are
to put their game on, and Rare have just gone, yeah, fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're all one and the same big giant entity. But Rare in itself has this kind of tone, and, like, literally, it's from the top down. Like, I mean, I've watched literally every bit of coverage coming out about the game, so I've got a fair handle on the character of the people that are fucking making it. And it just seems like it translates really well. There are, like, no professional voice actors in the game; they're all people that work at Rare. And I thought, oh fuck, that could be terrible, but I've played it and I've spoken to an NPC and there's not one yet where I've gone, oh wow, that was really bad or anything like that. You know, and then you've got at the other end of the scale Destiny that's just paying, oh, the dude from The Walking Dead does Shax's voice and says, you know, 1,000 lines that you never fucking hear. Like, what is the cost of that? Why are they doing that? You know, like, there's so much bloat in that. And I think, like, looking at it now, I think Destiny 2 got a little bit caught up in its own fucking, the hype of itself. Oh, it's going to be this massive game and all of that. I think that what's important with Sea of Thieves is that they keep on their, like, keep that tone and they keep the open dialogue that they've had going. Now, there's been things that people haven't been happy about. Sorry, Sloth?
it's not only Sea of Thieves that has done that either. I mean, Fortnite have done that too. Like, exactly. You've got your Game Pass that you can go out and purchase, or you can work through all that sort of bollocks and, like, feel free to unlock it as you go and feel like you're actually achieving something outside of just sort of grindy, 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 grindy. It's just bollocks. So, I mean, I'm kind of got hope with these two, like with Fortnite being the title that it is, and Sea of Thieves looking to be the title that it is as well. It's definitely games that are going to be change the face of gaming, at least for the short term. Hopefully. Mm. Now, speaking of changing faces, Mylon and I have been playing a game recently called Escape from Tarkov. It is a beta from Battlestate Games, which are based out of Russia, I believe. It is a RPG-based first-person hardcore shooter. Now, I got Mylon stuck on this, and now he's addicted to it like
this is cigarette. This is Tarkov you're talking about, right? Did you say that?
Escape from Tarkov. So, Mylon, as someone who has recently, like, I've been playing for a while now, as someone who's recently come in and started playing it, what are your thought process on it, mate?
So the other thing I would add to people that haven't seen it, and you're probably going to say this is too simplified, but the sort of basic premise of the game is a little bit like the Dark Zone in Division. You take gear in, if you die and don't extract, someone can loot your body and you can lose everything. And the RPG elements to it is, you know, you've got vendors that you level up and, you know, you go from shitty guns to better guns to guns with multiple attachments, silencers, and et cetera, et cetera. So you end up getting attached to your gear and you want to keep it. And they seem very impactful. Like, if you go in with a pistol and no body armor, you're going to have a bad time for the most part. So there is a real consequence for dying, and I think that's one of the things that makes it exciting. It has that Dark Soul feel where you want to take a risk to get better and to progress, but at the same time, there's a little part of your brain that just says, just keep hiding in this bush and maybe they won't notice you, and then run to the exit. So, it's been a while since I've sort of had that feeling, and I really like the realism of it. I really dig games that have, you know, there's very limited stuff or anything on your HUD from memory. Is there anything on your HUD? No.
You basically have whether you're crouching or whether you're standing. Whether you're crouching or standing or prone, and your walking speed, and that is it.
Yeah.
It is very minimal. Very, very minimal.
So I think if you like games that are like that have this sort of consequence of dying, which, you know, you can get to a point where you've used all your guns and you have no cash and you have to basically run naked into what they call raids, which is just a map, and try to get more cash and loot and just avoid people. Like, if you like that idea of consequence with death, then I think this. And combine that with a military-style shooter, I think...
It is, 100% a military-style shooter. At this current point in time, it is in a beta, and a lot of the options haven't been implemented yet. So at this current point in time, there are 6 maps that you can go onto. However, in full release, from the plans that I've spoken with the developers, that they are wanting to be completely open map. So you have to go in and clear a certain part of the map for it to become part of the open map. But you've got your stash and you've got your hideout, and you work out from there. So no one could come into your stash and try and jack you of your gear. But if you go out of it, they can absolutely smoke you when you stand. Now, the one thing that I will need to to tell people about is that it also has, like, it's completely realistic. How much weight you carry is effective on how quickly you can move. So if you've got, like, a full proper body armor on with a proper helmet, full weapon, like your rigging is full, your weapon is full of ammunition, all that sort of thing, you can only move at half speed. You've also got to keep your energy and your food levels and your water levels up as well. Mm. It is completely immersive in that respect. So I personally have died a few times for not looking, not keeping an eye on my hydration.
I would be so shit at this game. I was like, up until that point, I'm like, fuck yeah, this sounds amazing. And now that I have to like, I mean, I struggle with eating and drinking in fucking real life.
Real life.
Let alone remember. Is there like on-screen prompts or do you just need to remember?
You just need to remember. There is no like. So if you're walking along or if you've just sprinted from one end of shoreline to the other, and you don't forget to drink, you'll actually start like your screen will sort of start to darken and turn red, and turn red and red and red, and then you'll just pass out and you'll die. it's the same
if you get shot in the stomach. You lose hydration quicker, like really quick. So you've got to all of a sudden it can go. It's one of those games, and I think this is the idea of consequence. It can go from everything's fine, everything's not fine. I've been shot in the stomach. I am like a good 2 minute run from the exit point. I have no water. I need to kill someone and hope that they have a bottle of water on them so I can keep hydrated and get to the evac. I think it's that intensity of gunplay, which I am, you know, I don't have any military background, but I can, it has that anxiety of everything's fine to holy shit, fucking buddy's got KO'd. I've got no health. My stomach's bleeding. I'm limping. I need a splint. But I've got all this good gear that I want to keep. How do I make it to the end now?
Yeah. It's a choice, but it's action and consequence. Mm. It's very much like a choice and consequence. So this happened the other day. Mylan and I were playing with a friend of mine from my community, and we'd loaded in, and Mylan and Woody were searching your building, so I went to search for another building. I got popped, like, immediately. I didn't even see where these dudes were coming from, got popped immediately. Mylan was just like, oh, shit, sloth down, I'm fucking...
I can so imagine that.
I literally just hit in the factory.
Yeah, like you hear this crack thump and like the inside of like I was bleeding out on the ground. Woody's like, oh shit, sloth's down. Miles like, oh god, we need to run. What are we doing? But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It can go from situation normal to completely FUBAR in a matter of seconds.
Yeah,
and I think that is just incredible, and I really, really do. It's not for everyone, and in reply to what you said, Ratified, it is a lot. It is very a lot of the elements are very similar to the Arma 2 DayZ mod, just without the zombies, honestly. Mm-hmm. But the developers are quite good with updates and all that sort of thing. It's a decent
yeah.
game.
Yeah,
cool. But Mylan and I have been playing, really enjoying it. And that part of the cast, guys, is just something that we've been playing. So it's
I think that it's worth just touching on like the podcast as a whole. Like honestly, we're Destiny dudes. It's how we all met, all that sort of crap. But you know, right now it's not something that we can continually labor on without being in any way negative. And we don't want to be negative. We just want to be able to talk about things we're genuinely excited about and genuinely enjoying. So I mean, if I understand that if you're here purely for Destiny stuff, then yeah, you're probably going to feel like you're getting a bit of a raw deal. I understand, you know, like maybe if you choose to tune out, that's also fine. But we're going to continue to discuss things that we are interested in or passionate about. And if there's anything that you are interested in or passionate about, please tweet us, come up, turn up to an episode, write us, hit us in the YouTube comments, just talk to us, because, you know, we want to know what everyone else is doing as well. You know, we're three different dudes. We enjoy three different things, and there's a world full of different people out there. So there's a million different opinions that we can get. And that's what it's all about. Sloth, I'll play Tarkov with you on one condition. You need to mother the fuck out of me. You need to be like, Log, have you had a fucking sandwich yet? Need your sandwich?
Oh,
have a drink.
You know what happens when I play Tarkov, especially when I'm playing with a group. I go like we spawn in, and we go, all right, we're going to go here through here, and we're going to just keep our heads on a swivel and all that sort of thing. We get to our first point. I go back to Sergeant Sloth instead of Real Time Sloth, and it's just like, check your water, check your guns, keep your eyes on it, keep your eyes open, make sure you're looking out and all that sort of thing. So if you want to play Tarkov, go for it.
I think I need this in my life.
I will testify to Sloth being a good mother hen in Tarkov, because other games that we play like PUBG, he's more likely to fucking shoot rounds at me to see what happens and and do dumb stuff to freak me out. But when I first went into Tarkov, I hadn't shot anyone yet, because there's also AI in the maps too, not just players. So there's a mix of players and AI. He's like, oh, there's an AI, Matt. So I put some shots in him, and he's like, gun up, run forward, move up. And I was like, yay, I killed someone. And like, you know, got an AI without like getting blasted and like losing all my gear. So I can testify to Sergeant Sloth. Maybe not in other games, but in Tarkov, I think
I need this kind of realism in some form of my gaming life, because Sea of Thieves is absolutely the opposite. Oh, you die, absolutely. You go and stand on a fucking evil-looking boat for 30 seconds, and then you're back. No worries. There's no consequence. Just keep coming back. Fall off the boat, drown. No worries. Come back.
I can highly recommend that game, but also I can highly recommend Warhammer 2 Vermintide as well. Warhammer Vermintide 2, rather. That's a lot of fun. If you like playing Fortnite, then more power to you. Fortnite is definitely one of those games, and that's a beautiful thing about it, ladies and gentlemen. And that, I think that's why we're sort of starting to implement more games into the cast as well, is because gaming breeds social interaction, and social interaction is really, really good. And if you can enjoy social interaction and gaming, mate, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's probably one of the better things in life, especially in this current day and age. So, we're gonna call the cast there, ladies and gentlemen. Matt's got to do a ton of PhD work. He's got to get the investors happy for the things and the stuff. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you have any questions, queries, doubtful points, please chuck them in the comments below. If you're on YouTube, or if you want to tweet at us, as Log said, into games that you wanted, games or issues that you want us to cover on the cast or anything like that, please tweet us at @DDU_podcast or @MylandGamesLogPowerSlave or RealTimeSloth.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching for the open forum episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to do more of this. I'm actually really quite happy with the way it all panned out. For a plan that was penned 20 minutes before we kicked off, it went pretty fucking well. Maybe that's what we needed. We needed to kick up the ass. But you know what, Matt? You're going to need a new law sign-off. You're going to need a new sign-off. Because the law, it's... Maybe... What about the law is dead? Long live the law.
Long live the law. That might be right. Long live the law. in memory of the law. All right, just do
this law podcast stuff. Is dedicated to the memory of Destiny's Law. All right, we're out of here. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya.